Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to think that if you had seen one parade, you had seen them all. And my first memory of a parade was from the Western Festival Parade in Elk Grove. And throughout my childhood, I had the opportunity to not only be in the parade, but also to watch that parade. And I thought it was pretty good. It was just a small, I mean, Elk Grove was a lot smaller then. And for a small local town parade, we had the Shriners or Ben Ollie driving the go-karts with their hats. They threw out candy. I mean, really, that's what makes a parade, right? At least when you're a kid. So I'm like, it was a good parade as far as I was concerned. Later, when we lived in Santa Rosa and Ryan was, our son was about one, we attended the Citrus Fair Parade in Cloverdale. Yeah, it was disappointing. I gotta be honest with you. And so the best part, Ryan thought, was when the logging trucks began driving down the street, which we thought signaled that the parade was over and they had reopened the street. No, that was part of the parade. And then a few years after that, we moved to Aptos, just south of Santa Cruz, where we had the world's shortest parade. It was about 3 hours long, but it was only 0.6 miles. So the kids would ride their bikes in the parade, ride their bikes back to the beginning, and then ride through it again. So it's like it almost never ended. Like, all right, this is time. Then as an adult, we went to one of the more popular parades, not the granddaddy, I understand that's the Rose Bowl parade, but we got to go to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. And we got up early, we saved our spot in the front row, we did all the stuff. And then you realize that you've been out there hours waiting for the parade, and what are you gonna do? You're gonna look up at balloons that are floating in the air, that it doesn't matter if you're on the front row or the third row. You can see them just as good. Now, some of the disappointing things about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is, one, the Rockettes do not march the whole parade, nor do any of the Broadway shows. They all just show up at Macy's to be seen on TV and by those who are actually in the stands at the end. So none of the singers who are on any of the floats, they're just waving the rest of the time. They're like, oh, I wonder who that is. And if your kids aren't there, you have no idea. Now the bands will perform occasionally, but for the most part, you're looking at the balloons as they go by. It's a very different experience being in person for that parade or watching on TV. This morning's parade, not our parade, but the parade we read about, marks the beginning of a very busy week in the life and ministry of Jesus and his disciples. This week forever changes the trajectory of our human lives through the seemingly insignificant details that are attended to by the disciples and other followers of Jesus. He is led into Jerusalem on the back of a colt with plenty of pomp and circumstance. After those two unnamed disciples had found the colt just as Jesus said they would, they brought it to him, they laid their cloaks upon it. Jesus sat upon that colt on top of their cloaks, and they began to make their way to Jerusalem, others laying their cloaks on the ground and these palm branches or leafy branches, the text says, on the ground in front so the colt could walk upon them. And the crowds shouted, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. This impromptu procession would not have been entirely unfamiliar to them. You see, this quote, this greeting had been used or was used for other pilgrims who were making their way to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. So it was a greeting or a blessing. But it takes on new meaning when these familiar words are said of Jesus. When it is Jesus who is riding on the back of a colt, which would also be reminiscent of Solomon entering into the city at his coronation. The shouts of Hosanna, which means literally save us or save now, became much more than a greeting or a blessing later that very week when Jesus was led to the cross. For he literally saved those who threw their cloaks upon the ground when he allowed himself to be led to the cross. But when that brief parade was over, there was nothing but disappointment. Disappointment when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. We didn't as we read in verse 11, he immediately went to the temple and he looked around at everything, but because it was late, we read, he turned around and went back to Bethany. A lot of hullabaloo about pretty much nothing. Jesus seemed to have missed what was going on in the temple. Maybe they spent too much time planning that little parade, because by the time he gets to the temple, it's already late in the day. And he looks around and decides it's time to go back for the night, back to Bethany where he was staying with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. When I read about Jesus showing up in Jerusalem to this empty temple, I'm reminded of the climactic scene in the movie Vacation. Have you seen it? When the Griswolds, after having driven cross country from Chicago to California to visit this theme park, Wally World, which is clearly based on Disneyland. I know they don't show up at Disneyland, but you know, we got the moose instead of the mouse, the whole deal. And after an arduous drive across country, they show up into an empty parking lot. And Wally World is closed 2 weeks for renovation. Talk about disappointment. All of that fanfare, all of that anticipation, only to show up and have the place be closed. Then there's nothing left to do but to turn around and to literally go back to where you came from. For Jesus, I was going back to Bethany. It makes me wonder, did he ride the donkey back or did he walk it? I mean, he might as well have ridden it, right? Because they had to return it to where it came from. The text doesn't tell us. However, the disappointment doesn't just end there with Jesus in the temple looking around late at night. No, his triumphal entry ushers in a week of disappointment for Jesus. This is not a week of celebration and gathering for the Passover as it had been before. Sure, that's what they were anticipating, but it becomes something very different than the disciples had expected. It took on a new meaning. And when Jesus returned to Bethany, he spent the night, and if we had continued reading in Mark chapter 11, we would read that the next morning he got up, and he and the disciples were beginning to make their way back to Jerusalem, back to the temple, and Jesus was hungry. Makes sense. So he, as they're making their way, he sees a fig tree in the distance, and it's beginning to have leaves on the branches. And he decides they should go to the fig tree and perhaps they'll be able to get some fruit from the tree. And when they get close enough, Jesus sees this fig tree doesn't have any fruit. So he gets angry or hangry and he curses the tree and says, "Nobody shall eat of the fruit of that tree again." Talk about a disappointing morning, waking up being hungry and then only to have your expectations not met. We've been there. I've been there. It sounds like the beginning of that book, Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, where one thing after another is going wrong. And it doesn't end there. They get back to Jerusalem, back to the temple. Jesus goes into the temple, and what does he discover? But money changers and people selling birds for sacrifices. So Jesus goes into the temple, he turns the tables of those who were selling, doesn't allow anybody to walk through the temple with anything, and he asks the question, no doubt with a raised voice, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations?' But you have made it into a den of robbers." Well, when the chief priests and the scribes heard what Jesus had done, when they heard how angry he had gotten in the temple, they kept looking for a way to kill him, which we know later in the week they would. Well, Jesus stayed in the temple that day until it was dark, continuing to teach and correct and prepare the disciples for what was to come. It was a dark week for Jesus and for the disciples, a tense week. They knew that the religious authorities were planning and trying to figure out how to kill Jesus, a week of uncertainty amidst the familiarity of celebrating the Passover. When the week began, the disciples couldn't have known what was to come. They couldn't have possibly known what was going to happen later that week. They thought they knew. They were going to Jerusalem for the Passover. They had done it before. They knew what to expect. And yet they didn't. And my friends, the same is true for us. As we begin yet another Holy Week, we might think that we know what is to come. We've journeyed through these days together before, but each year that journey is different. The destination is the same. Next Sunday, we will gather here and we will celebrate the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But this week of preparation, of disappointment, of anger, reflection can and probably should be different than it's ever been before, because we are different than we've ever been before. Jesus and the disciples had been to Jerusalem for that Passover, but this year it would be different. Familiar, yes, but the outcome would forever change the fate of the world. In a similar way, the outcome of this week, we know what's going to happen, but that will change us once again. We will be made new. We will continue to receive new and everlasting life through the good news of the resurrection. But before we get there, we need not forget how challenging this week was for Jesus. Where we have this little bit of fanfare and then disappointment and anger and frustration. It was natural. And think about how challenging it was for the disciples to think they knew what was going to happen, only to discover that everything would be different than it had ever been before. They would gather for that Passover meal, but that meal would never be the same as Jesus made that meal, the meal that we will later share together here. As we begin this Holy Week, I pray that we come into the week with full of expectation, anticipating what God might do in us and through us, different from last year, different from next year, but right for this year and where we find ourselves now. And then next week, we will gather in this space. And our shouts of Hosanna, our shouts of crucify him will be replaced with the good news that he is risen. Risen indeed. Amen.